right, folks, welcome back to yet another episode of Fresh Juice, an indie game podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Tommy Fresh, and joined, as always, it is...
Matt T. Juice. What is up, everybody? Tommy, good to see you. Back for another game, another week, another episode.
Another game, another week, and another sneak peek into the minds of Tommy and Maddie. This week, it's going to be awesome. We have... 33 Immortals, a game that we covered in beta, I believe, and it is out in early access, and we played it. We're going to talk about it, and all of our thoughts. We even played it together, which was fun. Or was it not fun? Stick around and find out. But before we do that, we do have some upkeep to do. First, we're going to catch up. What's up? How you been? What's going on?
Yeah, been doing good, you know, nothing too crazy, to be honest. Let's see, what did I do this weekend? I feel like I never remember. Let me check the calendar, because that's always a good way to remember what you did this weekend. I think, honestly, I just, you know, did some more dog training stuff, just kind of chilled. Didn't do too much this weekend. Yeah, other than, like, stuff around the house. We're just like cleaning up a bunch of stuff, getting ready for the baby, and played some 33 Immortals too, you know, definitely carved out some time for that. So excited to talk about it, but yeah, not too much really going on, you know, this past weekend. It was nice. Slept in a little bit, you know, with the pup, and about you?
The puppy sleeps in when you do?
Basically, right now, we actually keep him out in the hallway when we sleep, because we're trying to train him, because when we have the baby's got to be in our room, and like you're not supposed to have the dog in there at the same time, at least in the beginning. So originally, he would just sleep on the floor next to us in his bed, but now he's out in the hall. But then we have to get up at like 5 or 6 a.m. and let him out. Because he starts like crying and stuff. So we go let him out. And then when we come back in, then we let him in the bed for like the first few hours. So we like slept in, you know, till like 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or something like that with him. So, yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, he comes in at like the end of the shift, you know, basically.
Yeah. That's cool. That's fun.
Yeah.
You got to get ready for the baby. That makes sense. What did I do this weekend? I played a lot of Flesh and Blood. I went to two locals, armories, they call them. I did Saturday, did okay, 2-1, and then 3-0 on Sunday after we played 33 Immortals. I played some tennis with my sister, and then kind of just chilled as well. Nothing too crazy. Just like, it's been so busy and just like a lot going on. And I leave for Scotland in 2 weeks, so kind of just trying to get the ducks in a row a little bit. But, you know, hey, listen. I'm trying to game. I'm trying to podcast. I'm trying to do it all before Scotland, and then continue to do it again when I get back. But we do have a great episode for you all. It is 33 Immortals. We have some news, though. First, we have a Discord, which is free for everybody to join. Check it out, the Juice Heads. It's in the show notes below. And we hit 100 subby wubbies. 100 subs.
Yeah.
On the old YouTube. Can you believe that?
Amazing. Triple digits, and we're halfway to our goal. So, no, we appreciate it. Yeah. Everyone who's been, honestly, our YouTube's been doing better and better lately. So anyone who's been watching over there, supporting us, we really do appreciate it, because as I learned from you, Tommy, you know, companies, they can't see the performance of our podcast, so they recommend that you start a YouTube channel for it, because those statistics are public. You guys for supporting over there. That, honestly, like, I think listening and watching over there, right now at least, until like podcast stats are more public, kind of helps us the most, right? I would be our recommended platform, I would say, if you're over there. So appreciate the support.
Absolutely. Yeah. I know we do get thousands and thousands of listens on the audio platforms, but
guess no one will ever know that.
No one will ever know. Although I will say, for those of you who enjoy the Spotify, I believe you can comment on Spotify podcasts, and now you can react with emojis. I think I got an email about that. So check that out. I don't know if that's something y'all are into, but it could be something that worth another new metric. How are our Spotify emojis doing is really what we're trying to really find out. So give that a little look. But
give that a thumbs up, all right?
Give it a thumbs up. And the only other big news here is something I actually saw. I was going to bring it up, but it has to do with the new Xbox. We don't really talk a lot about Xbox here. What's going on?
Yeah, so this is a leak, actually, where apparently Microsoft is planning to integrate Steam on Xbox, on that ecosystem. So there was a leaked image of a new UI for Xbox. So I don't even know if it's a new system, but it's like a new update, I guess, for the existing Xboxes, we're assuming. And there's just a Steam tab where people are just assuming that's where the Steam store is going to be. You're going to be able to, purchase Steam games and play them on your Xbox, which, technically I would say makes sense, right? The Xbox is basically a PC. So there hasn't been any confirmation on this, but it's just really exciting to think about. And it's honestly something that I think, as a kid, not necessarily Xbox and Steam, but I always dreamed of what if there was one system for Nintendo and Sony and Xbox, and it just, right? Like that would never happen, right? So it's just really cool to see this as a potential, reality for Xbox. And honestly, it's, they've been kind of behind, I would say, in terms of the sales with Sony. So this is a big step forward if this is true. But not necessarily indie game related, but we do know there are a lot of indie games on Steam. So getting that Xbox community, access to them is a pretty cool idea too.
Yeah, I mean, I would say it's very much indie forward thinking here, because it's just kind of hard to develop for the consoles all at the same time for these indie developers. So I'm guessing if it's available on Steam, it should just be available on the Xbox, right? So they don't even have to kind of worry about the integration there, I'm assuming, if it's to work the way that I'm assuming it's going to work. But it's going to be a pretty huge step for Microsoft, I think. And I don't really see any reason to... I don't really see any reason to get a PlayStation at that point, right? Because a lot of these PlayStation exclusives also come out on PC.
Well, they've started to, but they haven't been coming out day one, which is what Xbox was doing, which is really cool. At least as far as I know, they might have done it for one or two Sony games so far, but I know The Last of Us Part II Remastered is coming out on PC soon. Which is obviously already out and it's already been remastered. So it's, they're still catching up there, because I do think there's still a large amount of people that are just going to buy PlayStation. One, because it's PlayStation, that's what they've always played. And two, because of their exclusives are still good. Mm-hmm. But I will say that, Microsoft has, ever since they realized they're not going to be able to win with exclusives, they've focused on services like Game Pass and just trying to make, the cloud. They're trying to make gaming way more accessible. So I think this is a step, is kind of a similar step to what they've already been doing, but it's a much bigger step because it's Steam. Really exciting. And also, I've heard rumors. I know you have the Steam Deck. I've heard rumors that there won't be a Steam Deck 2, and instead, this is all coming from this article, by the way. So this is people just kind of dreaming, but they said instead of there being a Steam Deck 2, Steam is just going to, or Valve is just going to lend the IP to Microsoft to build the hardware. So it'll be a Microsoft, hardware kind of portable gaming thing, but it's going to run Xbox and Steam on there, and I guess through Steam OS. I don't know. That's what people have been saying, which is kind of a neat idea as well, but I don't think we'd be seeing that anytime soon if this, they haven't even announced a partnership yet. So,
It would be another huge power move, right? Because, what's the one thing that the Steam on Xbox doesn't do? It doesn't really compete with the Nintendo Switch and the Nintendo Switch 2, right?
Yeah.
But if all of a sudden Xbox can make their own Steam Deck, then they're in that conversation as far as like doing both. So, I mean, it seems like a big power play. So, it should be interesting. I'll be excited to see what comes of it. I haven't had an Xbox in years at this point. I even bought one, and I think I sold it. It's like I just wasn't playing it enough. You know, it's just there wasn't enough to play on it, I thought, at the time. But that would change things if Steam was on there, obviously.
Yeah.
So,
and I think it's a cool idea, too, just because, you know, I'm someone that uses my Steam Link often, right? Like the game we're talking about today, I've sat on the couch and played it, and I really like that. You know, it's great to just be able to relax with a controller and play a game versus like sitting at your computer with a controller. And I think this would be even a great kind of alternative to the Steam Link, because Steam Link obviously is running from your computer and streaming it, mm-hmm. but this could potentially run like natively on an Xbox. So I would be considering, you know, getting an Xbox, which I have like an old one, but I've never considered getting any of the new ones because I'm like, why would I do that? But this would definitely be a console mover for me if I was able to get like a cheap Steam machine, essentially, for my TV.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Yeah. Very exciting. And you mentioned the game that we played this week, which is 33 Immortals. What is this game, you may ask? Well, it comes from Thunder Lotus, who's made some other games like Jotun. I'm blanking on the other big one that they are known for, but it's developed and published by Thunder Lotus. It is on the Epic Game Store and Xbox, as well as Xbox Game Pass as well.
Spiritfarer,
which was a nominated game for game best indie at the Game Awards. 33 Immortals is a co-op action roguelike for 33 players. Play a damned soul and a rebel against God's final judgment. Pick up and raid, cooperate to survive hordes of monsters, defeat massive bosses, and face the wrath of God in a fight for your eternal life. This is an interesting concept where we are fighting a Christian God. We get a lot of the other religious gods in gaming sometimes, but Christian God was kind of a new twist here, kind of really based on Dante's Inferno, but we'll get to that in the story. Let's talk about the gameplay. You hop in. This is would you call this an MMO of sorts?
I'd say it's like a slice of an MMO, kind of. Yeah.
So you hop in and you're these characters, these kind of damned souls, and you just kind of end up in this like base area, much like any kind of roguelike, where you can kind of upgrade stuff. You have a couple different characters that you can talk to. You get to, train stuff as well, play with the different kinds of weapons. You have a nice tutorial to start off with too. But the main idea here is you are hopping into the world, and you have three choices. Well, currently only two in early access. And you have the Inferno and then Purgatorio, which you have to unlock Purgatorio first. And then we'll have the third chapter of Dante's Inferno in Paradiso for the third final battle. Now, you're going to spend most of your time in the Inferno. This is hell, for those who don't know. And you're going to be battling with 30 or 32 other players to run around, kill enemies, and then I don't even know what the time limit is. I guess like after X amount of minutes, the first doors to the torture chambers open. Now, whether the torture chambers, if you're watching the YouTube or watching the Spotify, you can see them right now. It's basically a Hades-style dungeon room where you're going to get hordes of enemies that you have to kill all of with or without the help of your other immortals that are running around. You hope that you have the help of the other immortals because it makes it a little bit easier. And you do that, you can unlock some stuff, and then that happens one more time. And then after that, you have to like try to ascend. and face the final boss and gather all your really sick loot to kind of upgrade your character. Now, in terms of weapons, there's four different kinds of weapons you can start off with. You have daggers, you have a bow and arrow, or bow and multiple arrows, a heavy sword, and then like a staff of sloth, which is kind of like your control magic-y kind of a weapon. Not a lot of damage, but it slows down enemies and stuff like that. So that's pretty much the gameplay. You're kind of running around. You're trying to like coordinate with other players. You know, you can team up and get a party going of four players to enter. They did say in the roadmap that you should be able to do full private parties at some point, which would be kind of neat. But currently, you can hop in with a party of four and join in with the other 30 or 29 mortals. So you need to kind of work together, and this becomes really apparent as you go through the torture chambers. You definitely need to have people in there with you to fight. And then even if you get to the boss, there's a lot of cooperation there. And that's the core idea of this game, is you can't do this alone, right? This is not a game that you can just buff up and solo. And it's pretty cool. And people get a good feel for what you need to do and like how you need to be cooperative. And I don't know, the game loop's really fun and gets really epic in there. You know, when you're fighting these enemies, like, they are challenging and the boss is very challenging. And, you know, you even, like, before you can even get to the boss, you have these challenges you have to kind of overcome. When you're going to ascend, you need to be able to fight off these huge hordes of enemies while you try to ascend. It's a lot of fun, and it can be really hectic. And if you are not with a good group of people, you're gonna feel it. So I don't know. I really like the gameplay here. The loop was awesome. I was like, all right, one more run. All right, one more run. All right, one more run. So I was really digging it.
I'm right there with you. I mean, this game, you know, I think one of the things I just love about playing it, you know, obviously each run is just so exciting. Like you said, it's like challenging, but really just like entertaining. You know, it's satisfying actually like progressing through each run. But I love the fact that they have an unlock system where enemies will just drop these tokens and it will say, oh, new cape unlocked, right? Or, you know, kind of whatever it is, but it's very general about what it is. It doesn't actually tell you. So there's this like excitement that you get when you actually go back, even if you die, if you don't actually complete the entire run, where you go back to the Dark Woods area, which is like that lobby area that Tommy mentioned. And you're like, oh, I wonder like what this cape is or what this halo is I unlocked, or this weapon skin, or even like a perk that you get that actually affects like your gameplay. And then you can see like what your, you know, what kind of tasks. There's like a kind of a task board. There's like daily quests. And then there's kind of these like achievements, sort of different tiered achievements that you can unlock. And those actually upgrade your character permanently, which is exciting. So I love that part of it. I'm like, after I do that, I'm like, I just feel like, oh man, I'm so much stronger now. I want to do another run. And then I unlock a bunch of other stuff, or like, I look really cool, right? I got a new, I just want to do a run because I look cool, you know, like even if I didn't get any like stat upgrades. I think that it does such a great job of like getting you excited about these like random items dropping and seeing what you're going to unlock next. Like I just unlocked the ability to upgrade my weapons. I think it's like level 6 that you can get to. So that was exciting because I'm like, oh, this is like opening up a whole new possibility. And when I unlocked the weapon upgrade, it says, oh, now enemies can drop weapon upgrades. So I'm like, oh, like it's not just like free. I don't like use currency to buy certain things. It's like, oh, now I have something else to hunt for. Which is really cool. And then there's some other upgrades and stuff like that you can get. So I just, you know, with it being an early access game, I just really appreciate all of the satisfaction you get and like the depth that it has with unlocking things. And it's not like some of the things that you're unlocking are like really intricate, or, you know, it's a very simple, you know, we'll talk about the art, but, you know, in terms of cosmetics, it's not like they're like blowing me away with how they look, but I'm like, oh, that looks pretty cool, you know. And now my character feels a bit more unique, because every run, right, you're with 32 other people, you want to stand out a little bit. So I think that's just, you know, in terms of the gameplay, like that was one thing that really stuck out for me, is just this great gameplay loop of, you know, the runs are fun themselves, and then like getting that, you know, those unlocks afterwards and getting excited about what you unlocked. It's a reason I keep doing run after run, is I want to see what else there is. But then, you know, you talked about challenging enemies, really difficult boss. You know, obviously we tried the second kind of difficulty with 22 players. That did not work out well. We're not ready for that yet. So that's just another thing to kind of grind for, which is exciting. But it's still, you know, I started out the game never really ascending to the boss. Like it would happen and I would just get like destroyed. And I'm just like, how? Or I would get there and the boss battle would be taking forever. And then, you know, I was talking to you and you're like, oh, I don't like, you know, you didn't think it was taking that long to get through the boss. I was like, all right, let me read some of the stuff in the compendium and really like understand what I'm supposed to be doing. And I started doing that. I'm like, oh, okay. Like I had to like switch up kind of what I was doing. I can't like lone wolf it, which I was trying not to do anyway, but sometimes you just like randomly drift and you're like, okay. So I had to pay a little bit more attention to the map. And then now pretty much every run I do, I'm at least ascending and getting to the boss. And then like, you know, I think recently I've beaten it two runs, and the only reason we lost a third one was just we died at the last health bar for the boss.
Oh, man.
So we just like kept running out of people. It went from like 30 people down to like 18, like really quickly. So it just was unfortunate, but still it made me want to do another run. So yeah, really long way of saying, like, I think the gameplay in this game is fantastic. But it's the unlocks that they've, you know, that kind of like progression system that they've included that really makes you feel satisfied after doing each run. So, yeah, great. A+ on the gameplay for sure, Tommy. Only in early access. I'm excited to see as they fill out that roadmap, which I'm sure we'll probably go over like at the end.
Yeah.
Kind of everything that's coming. So if you're interested in that, we'll definitely cover it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you really hit the nail on the head with the progression and the unlocks. I also kind of like the in-run progression as well. It's very simple, but like really challenges you to make the right decision, because throughout the game, throughout a run, I should say, you get this kind of purple dust that will fill up, and once you fill up that meter, you'll be able to go to one of the looking glasses or whatever they are and upgrade one of three things. You can upgrade your attack, which is obviously good to do, right? You want to be stronger. You can upgrade your health, which is, you know, you can tank up, or you can upgrade your empathy, which, you know, I was kind of staying away from, but it is really important, because empathy powers up your like cooperative efforts, right? You have this one co-op special that you need two other players to participate in to kind of like do the thing. And if your empathy is high, it's going to be stronger. And same if you're attacking the same enemy as an opponent, or not an opponent, as a fellow player. And, you know, you're going to get buffs from that as well, which was pretty neat. And then there's also the relic system, which is kind of,
yeah,
basically like, honestly, if it was like Slay the Spire, right? You know, like these relics are going to be these perma buffs for your run that you can even re-roll, actually, which I haven't really done yet, but I'm going to be doing it because there's a mission for that. But it's really cool. Now, in terms of story, you know, this is a pretty flavorful roguelike, right? You know, this is, like as I said before, Dante's Inferno, right? Which, if you don't know, was a poem written by Dante Alighieri a long time ago in the Enlightenment era, I think it was.
It's like the 70s.
The 1470s. and that'd be funny if it was actually the 1470s. I have no clue. But essentially, that story is about a person who goes to the afterlife and has to go through the nine rings of hell, and then goes to, what year was Dante's Inferno?
The 1321.
Oh, yeah. And I should say, it's not Dante's Inferno is the first part. It's the Divine Comedy is yeah. the name of the poem. But got to go through the nine rings of hell in the book, but you don't really kind of go through the nine rings of hell in this per se, but you know, you're working your way to the center of hell to fight the boss. And then, in Purgatorio, it's purgatory, obviously. And you know, we didn't really explore much of that. We did one run and we were like, we just got like totally murked, and, it is what it is. You know,
yeah. we'll come back stronger.
We're gonna play some more, but yeah. And then we don't have Paradiso yet, which is, you know, heaven, which is where we're gonna face off against the Christian God, which is, you know, it should be. I mean, I doubt anybody's gonna make a real fuss of it, but the story elements are really cool here because you also have this really in depth compendium, as you mentioned. You have these kind of characters from those stories and other mythology kind of eras, like Charon is in the Dark Woods, and these characters you can talk to about like whatever you want to unlock, but they also have this like rich personality as well. I thought for what this is kind of really nailing the idea of filling out the flavor of a game that doesn't necessarily warrant a rich story. It feels like you actually have a purpose. You know why you're doing this. You're not just like, I'm trying to kill bad guys. You're like, no, I am this immortal soul that wants to like kind of get out of these realms of hell. So I enjoyed it. It's not the most fully fleshed out story, but I think this is probably more than most games of this similar genre.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, like you said, it's